Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, episode 137, Outdoor Cooking. Hey everybody, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of the show. I'm Roger, your host, and this is the podcast that's all about home cooking and getting in the kitchen, having more fun, learning new things, or maybe in the case of this particular episode, getting out of the kitchen and learning new things.
Kitchen on Concourse, paging Michael Hudson, please report to Charlie 111 on time departure for flight 6064 into Washington, D.C.A. Michael Hudson, please report to Charlie 111 on time departure.
Yeah, that happens a lot. If you're wondering what all the background noise is, that is the soothing, lilting tones of the Houston International Airport, where I'm hanging out right now waiting for a flight to New Orleans on a layover. So I thought I'd try to get some podcasting in. The glamorous life of a very part-time podcaster. So anyway, I'll keep the intro fairly short today, but I want you to know that today we're getting out of the kitchen. We're going to talk about outdoor cooking. And joining me today is Carl Kugler, outdoor cooking expert, aficionado, Dutch oven enthusiast, among many other things. Amazing guy, lots of great information and a good conversation about getting out of the kitchen and even away from the grill to cook up some fun and yummy stuff outside. Big into scouting, also organizes a lot of Dutch oven cooking events and is part of the Grub Masters YouTube channel, which has a ton of good information on outdoor cooking. If you're interested in any of that, I'll put links in the show notes over at kitchencounterpodcast.com/137. All right, so without further ado, here's my conversation with Carl Kugler of Grub Masters. So Carl, thanks for joining me on the show. This is going to be a very interesting conversation. I've never done a dedicated outdoor cooking before.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me on, Roger.
So you have a very interesting background because you reached out to me. You're a member of our Facebook group, and you are a participant in a YouTube channel that talks about outdoor cooking. And I know from an email that you have over or maybe exactly 40 Dutch ovens or something crazy like that. So you're obviously really into this, which is cool. So give me a little bit of your background. Like, what's your home, your outdoor cooking cred, if you will?
I guess it started for me, as many people that I've come across in, for example, Dutch oven cooking, that a lot of us got our start as scouts or scout leaders. So I was a scout as a child and have fond memories of camping and actually only remember once a Dutch oven in use, but it planted the seeds. So later on in life, when my kids, I have two sons, became of age, where they became involved in scouting and eventually I did too, I became drawn to outdoor cooking. The reality on any camping trip, and early on as a Cub Scout leader, you have to feed people and you need to find creative ways to feed them. And maybe you don't have a lot of gear to be able to do that, or a lot of skill. So I started doing it as a Cub Scout leader and then eventually being involved in helping to train. And I did some advanced leadership training, which is outside of the cooking, but we had to come up with a vision and some tasks to reach that vision. And mine was centered around cooking and helping the youth in the unit I was involved with learn how to cook better than they had been able to do before. And it really shaped me into being more involved in teaching adults, other adults, how to cook and the different techniques that are out there to cook and to do it safely and have fun and create the memories doing it. And as my sons have grown up and aged out of the program, and I'm still involved, but we've looked for ways. My friend John, who heads up the Grubmaster channel, the YouTube channel that you referred to, we've looked for ways to be able to continue to almost evangelize in outdoor cooking, the fun that we've had, and find a way to do it where it doesn't involve having to go out on the weekend and run programs, but be able to give people at home an opportunity to search and find some information that's hopefully useful to them. So lately, it's been a lot of either special events or doing things in my own backyard and really having fun and finding enjoyment in it.
Yeah, that's very cool. And I don't know if I mentioned this to you when we were emailing back and forth, but I am a Boy Scout as well, or I should say I was a Boy Scout as well. I made it to Life. I didn't quite make it all the way to Eagle, but we did a lot of outdoor cooking when I was growing up too, although I don't do as much of it today as I'd like. You know, that's life.
Exactly. Now, it's amazing how those seeds are planted. I think back to probably one of my very first camping trips as an actual Boy Scout up from Cubs, and I don't remember an awful lot about the event itself. I still have the patch from it, but I do remember the homemade donuts that the leaders made that we ate that night. You know, I was probably 11 years old, and I'm north of 50 now, so fond memories.
Yeah, most food memories work that way. They're high points, I think, when you go back in your mind. But let me lay out real quick here, and we discuss this a little bit too. So we're going to talk about outdoor cooking, but we're not really going to talk about grilling, which I know is a very common form of outdoor cooking. But I think there are other conversations that will do more service to grilling. I want to get into some more of the maybe less common things that a home cook can do, whether they're at home or camping or, you know, wherever they may be that's, you know, not in a traditional kitchen. So grilling we'll set aside for now. That in mind, Carl, what would you say if I came up to you and I said I've never cooked anything outside in my life, aside from grilling? What would you tell me would be a good gateway or a good starting point, you know, low risk way to jump into this?
I think one of the easiest things and probably one of the most versatile cooking implements that you can have for camping is a Dutch oven. And you alluded to the fact that I have a little bit of an issue with those, collecting them. And there's reasons why I do it for different, they have different purposes with different sizes. But if you were to get, say, a 12-inch Dutch oven, regular depth or a deeper Dutch oven, that's a great tool that you can not only cook in the campfire with, maybe on a tripod or right on the coals. You can cook with charcoal on top and below it. But also many of your camp stoves can accept that. The legs, a camp Dutch oven has three legs on the bottom. Many of them with your camp stove will sit on the top. I've watched youth try to cook in those aluminum camp chef type pots and pan sets that many of us have for camping and just get totally frustrated because they try to brown meat and it just sticks to the bottom because the aluminum, thin aluminum, isn't a good conductor of heat. Mm-hmm. And so a Dutch oven is a great, and then I think it's too easy to get intimidated when you look online and see these magnificent dishes that people are making, or cakes or breads. There's so many simple things that are nourishing and delicious and easy to do that somebody just beginning can do and succeed at.
And the thing I love about the idea of using a Dutch oven, it was, first of all, I have a couple Dutch ovens myself, both in the kitchen use and a couple of good cast iron ones that I can, you know, throw on some briquettes or whatever when we're out camping. But like you said, they're very versatile. So a lot of home cooks might be familiar with the idea of like an enameled Dutch oven, right, for their home kitchen. I've got several of those. Similar concept. You know, it's basically a vessel with a lid that you can do just about any cooking task you can imagine in. If you were to invest in a Dutch oven, you kind of mentioned this already, you know, what are you looking to spend? I know an enameled Dutch oven can be quite an investment for a home kitchen, but an outdoor Dutch oven, what kind of investment are we looking at, ballpark?
I think you're talking, you could find them online or in some outdoor stores for between $55 and $65 to $70 shipped to you. That's for a 12-inch, either regular or deep. And that's a good general-purpose Dutch oven. These are camp Dutch ovens, so they're a little different than the Dutch ovens you'd use in your house. Mm-hmm. But they're not enamel-coated. They're just a traditional cast iron. And they're going to last a lifetime if you take care of them properly. You'll be passing them on to other family members. So it's a good investment.
And as far as like, since we're talking about cast iron, let's just cover this real quick. As far as maintenance, we're really talking the same way you would treat a cast iron skillet, for example, in your home kitchen, right? It's the same sort of maintenance and care routine. Really, once you get used to it, quite simple, right? It doesn't take a lot of maintenance, but it requires how would I put it? And you'll put this better than I, but you have to be intentional and very careful about it. I mean, you have to do it. You can't just throw your cast iron Dutch oven in the back of the truck when you're done camping and get to it in a couple of weeks or whatever. You really have to stay on top of it.
Keep it clean, and some people get a little skeeved about the fact that some truists say you can't use soap on it. I know Lodge, probably the primary and one of the few manufacturers still, or the only still in the United States, making cast iron items, or Dutch ovens, for example. They started talking about, well, if you could use soap if you want to. But one of the key things is just getting that good seasoning, that carbon buildup within it, and then don't leave food in it. Don't leave it wet. Make sure you dry it. Make sure you oil it when you're done and put it in a dry location. Some people even elevate the lid, put a couple pieces of paper towel in the lid when you close it to keep some air flowing there. And then I store mine typically in some canvas bags that are made specifically for Dutch oven storage to help keep them dry and keep them clean, and so they're not attracting dust or anything while they're being stored. But dry, when I get done scrubbing mine with a natural brush, bristle brush, and wiping them out, making sure that the water is coming out is clean, I'll put them back on the fire or back on the stove and dry them out, and then give them a coat of canola oil. And I'm using Pam right out of the can. Some people may have other preferences they have on oil, but that's worked well for me. And then I just wipe off the residual amount that may collect if I put too much on it.
So let's stick with the Dutch ovens for a few minutes, because I know there's something else we want to talk about too. But I'm curious, like, what are your go-to recipes? Just to give us a general idea. And if you have any, by the way, if you want to send those over to me in an email, I'm happy to put any of those in the show notes if you have some you want to share. But just to give folks an idea, if they've never handled one of these vessels before, like what do you like to cook in it, and what are some things just to keep in mind in general?
Well, I think the first and most important thing to point out is that anything that you can cook in your oven at home or cook on top of your stove in your enamel coated Dutch oven, you can do camping. It comes down to just building up some confidence and practicing, because heat management of the heat from underneath or on is critical. So one of the things that I suggest when we do a lot of training with adults or with youth is start with something that's on the easier side. A go-to dish that I have is extremely simple. Think about when you're camping, you don't want to be making a big mess in your prep. So I'll pick up the baby carrots, which I know are not baby carrots, but the small carrots, they're ready to go. Some thin-skinned potatoes, the red or white, that don't have to be peeled. If you want to spend a little more, I know the grocery stores in Connecticut, the Northeast where I'm from, have the small, maybe inch in diameter, or the fingerling ones that you just need to rinse off, and they're good to go. Put those in the Dutch oven along with some quartered-up onions. I've got to have some cloves of garlic in there, a little bit of seasoning, salt. And then on the top of that, we'll place chicken legs or chicken thighs. And certainly you could do this with a whole chicken in the center, especially if you're using a deeper 12-inch Dutch oven. But then you need to carve something. But having the chicken parts, the legs or the thighs on top, sprinkled also with some seasoning, salt, and some rosemary, the juices just drip down into those vegetables. It cooks in about an hour, hour and a quarter, depending on what the weather's like and the temperature of your coals and how attentive you are to it. But what a delicious meal that you can just serve out of a dish with a spoon onto a plate, whether you're 45 or 14 years old. It's a great startup dish. Another dish that we would work with younger scouts on is something that's called Boy Scout Stew, and it actually comes out of a cookbook called Camp Cooking 100 Years, and it's by the National Museum of Forest Service History. And we actually on the Grubmasters channel have a video on that where we actually embellished upon it a little bit and added some of that quick cook pasta to it. But it's almost like a chili dish where you're browning meat. You could add some onions to it as we do, but you're adding a can of chopped tomatoes, a can of tomato sauce, some cans of mixed vegetables, And it really makes a nice hearty dish that somebody just beginning can do. And both dishes that I just mentioned are what you would call more of a wet dish. They have a lot of moisture in them. Versus if you're trying to bake a cake the first time out, it may have a nice crust on the bottom if you're not careful. It still tastes great, the upper part, but you know, just experimenting and getting comfortable with a Dutch oven.
One of the things I remember, and I'd have to try to find the exact recipe, but it's so simple you almost don't need one. We would always make, in our scouting trips, we would always at least have peach cobbler one time. Usually it was peach. I don't know why that was, but it was, I think if I remember right, it was really as simple as Bisquick, cans of peaches, and then condensed milk is kind of like a little thing you just kind of drizzled on top. And it was delicious.
Oh, absolutely.
It sounds so ridiculously simple. And I know there's probably a law or a rule of outdoor cooking where everything tastes better outside. I don't know what that is. And I think you made the point before where the expectations are different. People will be amazed, right, at what you can pull off. Whereas at home, it might just be like, oh, just a good solid meal. But when you're camping, it's like, my gosh, this is incredible. And both of the things you described sound amazing, right?
Yeah, my wife is, and our family is known for baking cakes. And the nephews and nieces and my children, they'll be, you know, they want her to bake their birthday cake with the decorations on it and all. And when my older son is now 27, was 12 years old, I guess was, we had a themed, in the backyard, camping-themed birthday party. And I baked a chocolate cake, box mix chocolate cake in a Dutch oven. And people were just amazed. It was like I made it from scratch. And there's something about a hot chocolate cake coming right out of the oven, and I took some abuse for that because it should not have gotten that rave reviews. But you know, you talk about the peach cobbler, and one of the favorites also is a dump cake, and it comes from the name of just dumping ingredients in. And we've played around with it over the years, where we start with a big can of peaches. I think it's like a 28-ounce can. The larger can, and dump it in, and then add a yellow cake mix, break it up in the bag a little bit so you make sure you don't have any clumps, dump that in, and then pour a root beer soda. This is where you want to get the good flavored root beer, and pour it in. We actually deviate a little bit and stir it up because you don't want it tasting like wet sawdust. Just combine everything while you're right in the Dutch oven. You're pouring this all straight in, and then everything's better with butter. Some tablespoons of butter placed on the top, and then sprinkle it with a little cinnamon and sugar. And you would be amazed, especially if you're camping on a cooler, crisp night, how delicious something as simple as that tastes.
That actually sounds incredible. Like four ingredients. That's amazing.
Yeah. And that's another thing I think I shared with you. Back in my early days, I'd come up with these. I'm going to do this recipe with all kinds of ingredients, and I'm going to do it from scratch, and I'm going to do it while I'm camping. And over the years, the simpler the recipe, the more I'm drawn to it. It still can be delicious. It still can be hearty. It still can impress everybody. But if I'm camping, maybe it's I'm going to go that route. You know, I have a carrot cake recipe that I adapted from a recipe I got on the internet. And for example, before last Christmas, I made 16 layers of this carrot cake, different sizes for different gatherings we would be going to or to bring into the office. And people think I'm lying when I tell them that I baked it outside because it comes out so moist. And I call my baby photos, where I keep on my smartphone some photographs of proving that I baked it outside, to be able to prove to them that, yeah, it was baked out in my backyard. So that's maybe more on the extreme of my go-to recipes.
That's awesome. And I think we've alluded to it here, just talking about these few dishes, but one of the, probably one of your top tips, I'm going to guess, and I've learned this, from many, many years of camping as well, when you're cooking out, in the woods or whatever, is as much prep you can do before you get out there, the better, right? So that first dish you mentioned with the chicken and the carrots and the potatoes and onions, etc., you can prep almost all of that, aside from, well, if you're using whole potatoes, so fingerling potatoes, and there's really no prep but maybe some scrubbing. But you can do so much at home because doing that stuff, no matter how well provisioned you are with gear, can be a pain in the rear sometimes when you're away from home. You know, you don't have maybe fresh water, running water at hand. So as much as you can put in Ziploc bags or, you know, those Glad containers or glass containers or whatever, it's a real lifesaver.
Oh, absolutely. And one of the things that we'll teach is when we do demonstrations for other people learning outdoor cooking is take that Ziploc bag and maybe it's you're going to make some type of a cobbler and you've got the dry ingredients. Well, if you've also portioned out your pancake mix, they're going to look an awful lot alike. So you want to label it with a Sharpie to indicate what exactly is in there. And then if it needs eggs added or milk or oil or whatever it may be, although you can even add the oil to the dry ingredients ahead of time, write it on the outside of the Ziploc bag what you need to add to that to make it, you know, to bring it to completion. The other thing, too, is take your smartphone and take a photograph of the directions on the container if you're following or the recipe book. So you don't get in the woods or get to the campsite and realize that you left behind the actual recipe that tells you how long to cook it for or what temperature you want to bake it at. So that is critical too. But there's so many things that you could pre-portion out. And I was a Bisquick snob early on. I would never use it. You know, I'm going to go from scratch. But there's plenty of dishes for a product as something as simple as that, making scones, for example, that you can utilize. This past weekend, we did a Dutch oven gathering, helped coordinate that. I did in an old Sturbridge village in Sturbridge, Mass., which is set, a working museum set in the 1830s. And we did a number of dishes, and to be able to take something as simple as popping fresh like Pillsbury biscuits and make monkey bread. People are just in shock that you could do something right out of the refrigerated section of the grocery store. Plenty of sugar and cinnamon and brown sugar, but it amazes people what you can do with things that they're just walking by in the grocery store.
I have one more tip I'm going to share, and it's not directly related to cooking or Dutch oven per se, but I remember when we were scouts, and this is something when we go camping today I do, and that is take all of your liquid ingredients and like double bag them or secure them.
Yeah, cool.
I remember we went on this camping trip and this was in scouts, and this was, I don't know, it was like a 2 or 2.5 hour drive from wherever, from home, right? So on the last day of camping, we get up and we have pancakes for breakfast. We pack everything up, throw everything in the back of the trailer. You know, it's like a caravan of 3 or 4 cars, all the scouts and the leaders and whatnot. Anyway, we get home and we're putting stuff away before everybody kind of disperses, and we pop open the big Rubbermaid box or whatever we had all of our kitchen stuff in. And somebody had used the maple syrup, but they didn't put the lid on very well. And they had set it on top, and it had leaked out, and basically everything in that kitchen box was drenched in maple syrup, and it was horrible. So I'm like, you know, if we would have put that in a big Ziploc bag, that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah. The other thing to do too is, when you talked about the Rubbermaid tub, when I was a cub leader, I would do 2 events with the pack, one in the winter and one in the summer. And I was getting ready, we had done the winter camp out, and I was getting ready to do the pack picnic. And that's the last time I was in the Rubbermaid tub was in February. And I opened up the Rubbermaid tub that found that somebody had helped me out and packed a bag of leftover potatoes in with the papered goods.
Well, you had some good starters, probably.
Yeah, exactly. As well as that seals odors out, it kept the odors in. And the other thing is just as you're packing your stuff, the spray cans of oil. Nothing's worse than you hear something shift in the bin and you hear the sound of the spray going off because something shifted on top and now it's spraying everywhere in your container.
So that's a good way to ruin a bunch of good stuff in your box.
Exactly.
Or make it so you don't want to spend a month cleaning it. Anyway, anything else about the ovens that we should cover? I want to jump onto the other item that you had mentioned for easy cooking.
Yeah, I think the main thing is don't be intimidated. There's plenty of videos. I know we've got a whole track of them on the Grubmaster channel. They're trying to ease people in and give you some easy dishes to use. Don't be intimidated by them and enjoy and have some fun with them.
Okay, excellent. So you had mentioned to me earlier another item that is a really great and relatively easy way to get into cooking outdoors. Why don't you fill us in on what you got there?
Absolutely. There's an item called a pie iron. Some people know them as hobo sandwich makers, and probably the first thing you ever remember being made in one of these are like a clamshell. I prefer the cast iron ones, although they make some in aluminum as well, where they fold over pockets for two slices of bread typically, and you fold it over on themselves, and then they have long handles, metal rods with wooden handles on the end, and you can make the typical thing to do is to make a toasted cheese sandwich over the fire where you have the breads inside this clamshell device with your cheese or maybe some boiled ham in there and make a toasted cheese sandwich. Typically, you coat the inside of the pie iron with oil, or you can coat the bread with even mayonnaise is a good product to use to be able to let it crisp up and brown up. But there's, I said in an email to you that you can literally have a camping trip for an entire weekend where breakfast, lunch, dinner, and dessert is prepared in a pie iron because they're so versatile in terms of just, it's the only thing that limits you is your imagination.
So on that note, what's the craziest thing you've ever made in one? Can you think of something offhand?
It's probably not crazy, but we improvised. John from the Grubmaster channel and myself, we were doing an event with a bunch of scouts, and the number 10 can of vanilla pudding that he bought to make chocolate eclairs from the local restaurant supply place was actually a number 10 can of banana pudding. So we created banana splits where we had mini marshmallows and a dab of strawberry jam and chocolate chips with some banana pudding. And that day we went through over, I think I estimated close to 550 slices of bread, but that number 10 can was gone. A bunch of kids, they loved it along with, we did get some vanilla pudding, but that's fun to do. We do in a larger pie iron, but it could be done with a smaller one. I think my favorite is steak panini, where we don't do the traditional where we just put everything together and heat it at once, where we cook the steak in the pie iron first. We threw in some peppers and onions and then had a little trick there to get it to lay on the bread in the end with some cheese and toast it up nice with some butter on the outside. And we did it in the winter, the filming of it, and you could just see the steam coming off of the sandwich, but it was, I got to tell you, it was delicious.
That sounds awesome. And like you said, the variations are endless. I mean, really.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. It's like having a George Foreman grill out in the woods.
we did the chocolate eclair, and the recipe that we had been taught was you put vanilla pudding, you get the vanilla pudding packs, and you put a tablespoon or two in between two slices of bread, and you toast it up. And when you're done, you take some store-bought frosting and you bright chocolate frosting and you smooth it on the outside. And that's great. And it looks just like a chocolate eclair. But the problem is it makes a mess. So the deviation to that was to use mini chocolate chips or bigger chocolate chips for that matter and sprinkle it inside with the pudding. It still heats up, melts together. And now you can handle it without having to have chocolate all over your hands when you're done.
That's amazing. Okay, so I'm going to put you on the spot now because I don't know that we talked through this far. So Dutch ovens and then pie irons. So now let's just say I want to go a step more complicated. Is there anything that I should be interested in looking at as far as outdoor?
Outdoor skills? I think one thing that amazes me, and I'd be interested to see if your experience in scouting, if you've seen this at all, but reflector ovens. Mm-hmm. Reflector ovens back in the 1800s, hearth cooking were such a big part of what the household cook used. And they're so easy to make. You still can buy some that are manufactured. And I think those two are fun. They tend to be more for baking, biscuits, and smaller items. But that's one area of fun.
And just to clarify, or just to, if people aren't familiar with this concept, the way I've seen them in their most basic form, it's almost like you take like a corrugated box, and the way I've seen it, you line it with tin foil, or you put tin foil all the way around it, and then you have some sort of a glass or a plexiglass, or I'm not even sure what it is, top, and it's basically sun powered, right?
Well, you can do that, and I've been dying to try to figure out how to do more of the solar power, and I have done some of the reflector oven with the corrugated box lined with foil that we actually put over some coals and roast a whole chicken in an hour and a quarter on a green stick that goes through boxes slightly elevated. The reflector ovens that I'm referring to are more of an open-faced, you know, two metals, pieces of reflective metal at a 90-degree angle, where it is set next to a campfire or next on a hearth, and it has a rack in the middle.
Okay.
So it's on like a 45-degree angle. And I actually have a flyer I could share with you for the podcast page that kind of takes you through. And I always love gadgets and gizmos, and I was getting ready to teach some scout leaders, and I was trying to come up with something different. We're teaching Cub Scout leaders. They don't necessarily have a lot of access to gear and equipment. And I kept walking by my recycling bin, coming and going from loading up my trailer of my gear. And I kept walking by this pizza box for a small pizza. And it was after about the 10th time it dawned on me that I could coat that pizza box with aluminum foil, use some coat hangers and some hardware wire, and create a reflector oven for basically the cost of some painter's tape and some aluminum foil. And it works amazingly well. And people are amazed that they basically have what they need at home to be able to make a reflector oven. They have to run to the big box home improvement store and buy sheet metal and try to bend it or cut it or
that's amazing. Pop ribbon it or whatever. I would love if you could send that flyer over. I'll share it. I think that sounds pretty cool. I don't have any experience with that. I've not tried that before. So that would be kind of a fun, kind of a science-y experiment almost.
Absolutely. It definitely could be fun. And it's something that you can do with your children. Or if you have a scout group, they can make it ahead of time. We were doing snowshoeing for one of our outings in a cabin, and we had a good mile and a half walk in. So we actually made some reflector ovens out of flat stock of cardboard and some binder clips and some hardware wire and coat hangers so that could be collapsed and put in a sled. But we had a great cabin we were staying at, and we were able to bake some treats right in front of the on the hearth that night in the cabin. And hopefully the boys that were there that weekend will remember those experiences going forward.
I'm sure that sounds amazing. So what haven't we mentioned that's absolutely critical? Did we forget anything major?
I think the preparation, the camp sanitation, you want to work safe. You want to ease into things. Don't go bake that carrot cake that I talked about in your first venture out on a camping trip. You know, ease into things, build upon your successes and your failures. They're going to happen. And then I think one of the other secrets to success of anybody that's camp cooking is to have a backup plan. You know, to have that extra cake mix or some additional ingredients, some canned food or whatever, if the inevitable happens on that particular trip, and just be ready and recognize that, you know, you're creating memories both for yourself and the people that are with you. One other thing in terms of preparing is know where you're going. We teach some backpacking cooking, and in Connecticut, we're fortunate to have a section of the Appalachian Trail that runs through our state. But the reality is that you can't have open fires in the campsites on the Appalachian Trail in Connecticut. So you need to be prepared with other cooking methods to do it. You may find that a campsite that you're going to, water is a problem, plentiful water. So you want to think through and not have something that's really messy that's going to take a lot to clean up when you're preparing your meal, and have lists for everything. I live and die by my lists, and I'm checking them twice and making sure I have everything that you need.
Yeah, sage advice. And I have to admit, I'm kind of ready to get outside and do some cooking, to be honest with you. I'm actually quite hungry right now.
Well, I'm glad. And hopefully some of our listeners listening to the podcast will do the same.
I hope so. So, Carl, you've mentioned it a couple of times, and I'll put it in the show notes as well, but where can folks find you or the Grubmasters channel or however you want to put that out there?
Yeah, so if you look up Grubmasters on YouTube, it should be your top hit, and it's about, last I checked, just over 70 videos that go through everything from grilling and smoking that we didn't talk to today, right through pie irons and Dutch oven cooking, and we're looking to continually expand that. We've got a great video on a contraption I came up with that some people like and some people hate, which is a trash can pizza oven, which I'm in shock. I can bake with Dutch ovens all day, and all my family wants me to do is cook in a pizza oven made out of a metal trash can. But you can find that on YouTube. And then we do have a Facebook page. So if you look up Grubmasters on Facebook, you'll find us. And that's a great tool for us to be able to post some documents that are helpful. We've got some flyers that we've used doing demonstrations, whether it's Dutch oven or pie iron or reflector oven cooking, that we're able to post there and make them available to people. There's also a cooking manual that came out of that leadership training program that I had worked on years ago in Scouts that was designed. It's readily available, designed so you have a group of youth trying to come up with a menu plan for a weekend that they think outside the box a little bit and get a little creative in both their recipes and their cooking techniques. So they're all readily available, and we hope people find them useful.
That's awesome. Yeah, I checked out your YouTube channel. There is a ton of stuff on there. So an amazing, amazing resource if you're at all interested in outdoor cooking. So definitely go check that out. And like I said, I'll put the link to that in the show notes. Carl, thank you very much. I almost feel like there's so much to talk about. Maybe in the future we might have to do a version two of this.
I would love that. Thank you, Roger, for the opportunity to speak today.
Yeah, this was so fun. I appreciate it, Carl. We'll see you out in the woods.
Absolutely.
Hey, what did I tell you? Carl has a ton of great information. Hope you got something good out of that. Again, the show notes over at kitchencounterpodcast.com/137. Definitely go check out the Grubmasters YouTube channel. Tons of good information there and some really fun stuff. Well, look, folks, I have a flight to catch, and the next time you're going to hear from me will be from the Big Easy. So I'm going to leave it there for now. Until next time, I'm Roger with the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Happy cooking.